I'm an addict named Robert. First, I want to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here another day clean. I want to thank this area for inviting me out to come out and to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm nervous, but I ain't scared. Don't get it twisted. And I'm very, very, very emotional. I just met Sheila, and we're sitting there, and neither one of us has even opened our mouth, and tears are starting to flow. And I know that's all through this process of Narcotics Anonymous. See, our topic is the fourth and the fifth step. And to the newcomer, I want to say welcome. You are the most important person in any Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
That's right.
Because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. If last night you and your woman made love and you got off and she didn't, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If you got married in this process, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If you got divorced in this process, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If you bipolar, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Both of y'all can recover. This is where we come to learn how to deal with our feelings and our emotions and things to go on in life. They gave me this topic, the fourth and the fifth step, man, and I'm reflecting on it because it's not the first. I've done more than one fourth and fifth step. And for some reason or another, it came in my spirit, man, that my fourth and fifth step had taken a different path. Of course, it's about different things that I do in my life and things that are going on with me. But what I found out is that I need to do a constant fourth and fifth step for when I've been here on my recovery process. Because what I found in the fourth and fifth step was every step that was in the book, even before I got to it. And I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting with her, and I don't know her, but I do know her, and tears is flowing down her face, and tears is flowing down my face, and that's what I know is that that's a part of the 12-step application, because having had a spiritual awakening, my spirit is cracked wide open, man. And I'm sensitive, and I can feel some stuff through this step process, through the examination of myself. And how did I get to that point, man? I sought through prayer and meditation in the 11th step to get the power and a conscious contact. And the only way I was able to do that was to do a 10-step inventory and take a look at Robert. Because I had made some amends to some people in my 9th step from the list of the 8th step, because God started removing some character defects in the 7th step that I did in the 6th step, because I talked to my sponsor and God and admitted myself in my 5th step about the stuff that's going on in the 4th step, because I got the courage in the 3rd step because my mind opened up in the 2nd step. And all it let me know, man, is that I'm powerless. And I'm eternally grateful for y'all today, man. I'm eternally grateful for being here. Fourth step. How can we make sure we are really turning our will and our lives over to the care of God? That's the 3rd step. The answer is simple. We work the remainder of the steps, starting with step 4. It also says, and it works how and how wide is sooner or later. Members who don't work this crucial step.
Yes, sir.
Members who don't work this crucial step. Members who don't work this crucial step relapse. My clean date is July 17th, 1994. I can remember not having been in the surrender process, running around Walmart with 24 cartons of cigarettes under my coat, throwing up blood, shitting blood. They want to put me on the ambulance. I don't want to go because I want to go somewhere, sell the cigarettes so I can get one more.
Yes, sir.
The 4th step talks about coming in here and taking the mask off. I remember the lies I used to tell. How I used to come in here and talk about all them penitentiary numbers I had. Because I thought I needed to have that to qualify. I've been in the penitentiary one time. For 67 days. Martha Stewart got more time than me in the penitentiary. So I'm not that gangster that I came in here trying to tell y'all I was. I talked about how much dope I shot. Shot dope twice. Snorted dope. I talked about all of that, man, because I thought I had to qualify myself not only before I got here, but to be here. See, I forgot the last time I used. Came in here, wanted to share real profound about the time I got knocked before I went to treatment. Yeah, I was so spiritual, I went in and stole something, went out the store, and waited on the police to arrest me so I could surrender, right? I got knocked, man, because the disease had driven me somewhere that I couldn't stay clean at, and I got knocked, and when I was locked up, I had a decision I had to make. Took me 27 days to detox, man. Didn't eat nothing, didn't drink nothing, didn't do nothing but throw up and defecate on myself. 27, I ain't forgot that, man. I ain't forgot the last day I used. That's where my surrender process started at. That's when I finally figured out that maybe, just maybe, man, I wanted to do something different. See, I could come in here and share all kind of different stuff and talk about this and talk about that. I was looking at the ocean this morning. And I remember I used to come in here and lie. Because, see, I used to live in California. And I used to talk about how I had a house with the ocean splashing on the house and all this kind of shit. I was there, but it wasn't my house, man. It wasn't. It wasn't. I talked about being in Beverly Hills and ending up down on Hill Street with a girl named Beverly. I talked about that. Yeah, I was in Beverly Hills, but every time I went there, they called the police, man, because I was up there going in them folks' stores taking their stuff. See, I ain't got to live that life. I could peel this mask off today, man, because I could come in here and y'all going to accept me for who I am. Four-step working guy talks about living a half life. They ain't just talking about before we get here. They talking about sometimes after we get here.
Come on.
See, I got an issue with toes. I love feet. And don't put your feet under the chair now, because I done already seen. And fellas, don't get an insult if I'm looking at your woman's feet. Put a toe ring on it to show me you're married to the feet and I won't keep looking at it. That's how I find out if the women in a certain area is recovering. And I need to say, y'all pedicured up real good up here in Ocean City. Got an issue with that, man. Had a plan before I came up here. Got me a room over here. Oh, be sure it's a beachfront. Gonna drag me a hostage up here with me. God's funny, man. Because I'm in a room, I got two queen-size beds, a living room, a dining room, a kitchenette, and all that, and I'm in there by myself. This step talks about the surgery of the spirit, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that was my anesthesia, putting me in that room, having me have all this romantic thoughts, that all the stuff that I'm going to do, and God has been working me through that process, man. I'm talking about four-step stuff, man. A lot of times we want to come in here and talk about the fear. Triangle of Self-Obsession talks about a fantasy in reverse. If you reverse a fantasy, it puts you into a reality. See, fear is what makes us not want to look at reality, man. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm operating out of fear before I came here. I operate out of fear sometimes after I'm here. Sometimes put me in that half-life space. That half-life mode. Just for the day, man, I could step out on some courage if I stay in the step process. See, one of the most loving things we could do, man, for us is the fourth step. A lot of people want to share about all the messed up stuff we did before we got here and all them different sections that's in the fourth step. But just for the day, man, I choose to talk about assets. About 7 or 8 people told me they loved me, man, before I got in here. Several people wanted to hug me, man. I got sponsees that found out I was sharing that came down here in a van because they loved me, man. My sponsor is here because he loves me, man. I wasn't acceptable to love before I got here, man. My father never came up to me and told me, I love you, even on his deathbed. And I'm standing there beside him, and he knew I was clean. Knew I was clean, man. And I constantly just said, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Never said it back to me, man. But now I got people just for the day to tell me they love me, man. I'm going into literature. I got to. Got a problem with Narcotics Anonymous literature in the wrong meeting, huh, Sheila? This realization is often initially met with feelings of dismay and perplexity. Dismay to break down the loss. A loss of something, man. See, we come in here and we think because, see, this is the problem. The disease of addiction has an external indictment on our life. Only solution being an internal investigation. So what I must do, man, when I come in here is go inside of me, man, and see what makes me do the things I do the way I do them when I do them. I need to go in there, man, and want to know why when I look at a glass of water, it don't quench my thirst. I think about putting it in a cooker. Why is it that I look at the same thing that most people look at, man, and it appears to be something different to me? I'm talking about four-step stuff, man. See, 10th step, personal inventory. Four-step, situational inventory. I'm inventorying my situations so I can pull those character defects out, man. So I can find out what's troubling me, some of these things that's going on, like arrogance, dishonesty, lust, things like that, man. And I'm down here, man, and I'm trying real hard to stay focused on my recovery. Let me say that. Trying real hard to stay focused on my recovery. Man, because I've been doing some real stupid stuff. Now, I'm 62 years old. I'm finding myself in the Metro Parks with a girl 28 years old in the back seat because the drive-ins is closed and doing stuff that I really ain't got no business doing, man. And I got a nice place to live. Going home to the house, first of all, ain't good enough. And second of all, I got a daughter that's 34. And I'm looking at her thinking it's love. She got children. By the time they grown, I'll probably be dead. You know, it's something down inside of me, man, and I'm trying to figure it out. This pattern of me choosing it, whoever just comes before me, man, as soon as I see them, they my wife. Ain't checked out no qualifications or nothing. It looks good to me. That must be her. Yeah, she looks spiritual. Oh, let me give that a try. See, it's something deep down inside of me, man, that wants to be committed. And I always want to look at all my failures in my past relationships as failures. But the asset here about that is it ain't failures. It's just a training ground for where I'm going, man. I could take a different look at those situations today because a lot of them failed based on my choices. She 28 years old. She like rap. I can't stand it. Can't stand it, man. She want to play games. I don't feel like playing. My money's short. Can't stand it, man. And I'm going to look at that. See, we talk about putting unrealistic expectations on people. Sometimes the expectation is realistic. It's just where I place it is unreasonable. See, I have to get it. I have to figure that out, man, when I look at a situation. So needless to say, I'm walking around this convention thirsty, man. Thirsty. But only a loving and caring God, man, and the spirit of this program, just sitting here with Sheila and shedding those tears, man, refocused me. It refocused me, man. You need a spiritual, say the solution is spiritual, man. You know what I'm saying? Not Lucretia with her feet out. Not that, man. And I suck toes, man. I ain't gonna lie. I'm probably the only person here to do that. I'm probably the only one. I'm probably the only one, man. And quiet as it's kept, I hope I am, because that lets my odds be a little better. No, I'm just kidding. See, I talk to my sponsor about these kind of things, man. I talk about these. I ain't got no problem exposing me. I'm going to expose me before the person I use with come up in here and tell on me. Because they coming, man, because I believe the God of our understanding works through this program. I believe in that, man. This program gave me a lot of hope. When I got here, I didn't have a lot of faith that nothing would work for me, man. I didn't come in here a person with all that faith. See, this is what I know. If you can't give me some hope that something is going to happen for me with my dilemma, I can't have no faith in it. Because hope is what's going to make me look at the situation for what it is. Faith is going to be the thing that carries me through it, man. 12-step process, man. I have to inventory regularly. I had a friend of mine not too long ago say, how old is your last 4th step? Do you have to dust it off and shine it up with pledge to look at it? See, we just don't work these steps, man, and stop. Well, I don't. I can't afford to. My life is on the line, man. My life is on the line. The disease of addiction, it ain't going to kill me. It wants me to be miserable alive. It does, man. And I know it's real angry with me today because it's a couple of things that I could do. The disease don't care about how many meetings I go to, how many times I share, where I share. It don't care about that, man. But it cares when I start praying to the God of my understanding and when I get in touch with this literature, man, and when I start unpeeling this onion that's standing here before you. It cares about that. If you don't believe it, if you ever have insomnia at night, start reading your literature and start praying. I guarantee you, you'll go to sleep. Every time, man. Every time I try and get proper information, I find myself nodding when just a few minutes ago I couldn't even close my eyes. It's written so simply, man, for addicts, by addicts, man.
Yes.
A moral inventory, right or wrong. That's all that means, man. It ain't about Pookie and them's God, what their name is, how they pray, or none of that. I suggest that it's not a tree, because lightning can strike that down, and you don't want it to be a fire hydrant, because I don't want a pit bull with his leg cocked on the God of my understanding. But we have a right to choose, man, who we want that to be, man. We made a searching, fearless, searching and fearless moral inventory. I had to look the words up, man, because I wasn't even sure what those meant. Searching, to look through carefully in order to find something, to probe or penetrate. Now, I got a lot of ideas about what I want to penetrate, man. I do, man, and I'm going to share. You know, I'm going to share it, and I know I ain't alone. There's at least one person in here that feels the same way I do, at least one. I ain't going to call your name out, and don't raise your hand. We know who you are. But what I need to do, man, is penetrate my inside process on what's going on with me, man. I need to inventory myself, my situations. Robert, why you keep repeating that, man? Why you keep repeating that thing? And I go all the way back to when I was in childhood, man. You know what I'm saying? And I knocked off this girl in kindergarten from stealing my mama's jewelry. And the man with the candy came, and she cut me loose and left and went with him. And I've been hurting, man, all my life based on that. Makes me have fear about telling somebody how I really feel about them or asking them what I need to know about them in order for me to be able to do what I need to do with them. Never thought I was abused or it had anything to do with abuse, man. Never thought that. I can remember early on, 8 years old, when I used to be on the side of the house in the bushes with a girl who was 4 years old calling myself having sex. And the guy that took us there, that made us do that, I always put the abuse thing on him. I never wanted to take my part in it, man. This is before the dope, y'all. Before the drug. Hadn't even used yet, man. Still operating out of fantasy. Still operating out of fantasy, man. Trying to create something that's going on in my mind that might not even be healthy for me. Have to do some step work, man. Have to inventory my behavior in situations. Have to inventory why I couldn't stay on a job for no longer than 30 days. Have to inventory why I had over 20 years with zeros on my Social Security statement. have to inventory, man. What is it about me that makes me think? It says something inside us that cries out for failure, man.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I wonder if it ain't laughing for it. Because sometimes it seems like I feel more comfortable, man, with not doing what I need to do than what I don't need to do. Have to take an inventory, man, see why I'm reacting like that. What is it? Name it in the fifth step. Put a name on it, man. You know what I'm saying? I heard people say, oh, well, I really don't have to do this. God already knows. Of course God knows, man, but I need to admit it to him because as soon as I do that, and I did my fifth step with my sponsor, then for some reason or another, I get more identification of what that problem really is, man. And it allows me to claim it so I could go on and get into the six-step process.
Come on, man.
Fourth and fifth step will tell us how serious we are about our recovery, man. Because the disease is arrested in step one, two, and three. But if we don't do a fourth step, I just read it, it's going to bail out, man, and we could find ourselves in the dope house.
Yes.
I don't want to use no more, man. They got books out now to say this ain't about 12-step addiction or whatever. This is the cure. 99% guaranteed, man. I'll be in the 1% that can't get it. I'm going to roll with that one, man, because this is working for me. Even though good things that happen to me don't feel good, even though I'm doing the right thing and it's not always a comfortable feeling, this is much more pleasant, man, than me out there trying to get one more.
Yes, sir.
Much more pleasant than me out there trying to get one more. Because I don't know if the disease, how the disease drove y'all, but it had a steering wheel in my back, man. And I drug people with me through addiction. I drug people with me clean. That's why I'm grateful for the eighth and the ninth step. Because I drugged somebody along the way, man. I did. Had to go inside and check and see what was going on with Robert C., man, and find out what I needed to do about that, man. The biggest problem I had with the fourth step is it was long in the step working guide. A lot of questions, man. I'm lazy. Might as well go on and write it down. You did it. Don't get scared now, man. Literature says this is one of the most loving things that we could do for ourselves. I love this process, man. I love that y'all have allowed me to come and share my recovery with you. And if nobody has told you today that they love you, you better check who you're hanging out with. Thanks for allowing me to share with that. I pass.
Hi, family. My name is Bernadette. I'm still an addict. I'd like to introduce our next speaker. Her name is Sheila W.P., and she will be touching on the fourth and fifth step today. Come on, Sheila.
I'm Sheila, and I'm an addict. Let me thank the God of my understanding, who is loving, caring, compassionate, and forgiving God. And I want to also give thanks to CPR CNA number 24. Whew. I want to give thanks to my sponsor. I love my sponsor. I've been with her ever since I've been in recovery. You know, she never turned her back on me. But I want to tell y'all, I'm just as emotional as I can be. And I've been on this run for like 2 weeks, okay? I got sick yesterday, so I ended up, God was like, okay, no, let's sit you down, you know, because see, I'll run on self-will, you know, and do my own thing, you know, and I'll make myself sick, you know. I'm just going to share a little bit about where I came from, but y'all already know. I want to thank you, Robert, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. you know, and our spirits did connect. For real, we ain't in charge. Woo! You know, my clean date is October the 14th, 1995. One day at a time, I haven't found it necessary to use any drugs or mood-altering substances. But I have used other things, okay? let me just share a little bit about where I came from, because before I started picking up the drugs, because the drugs are just a symptom of our disease, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was going on, y'all. There was some shame already. There was some, you know, fear that was going on in childhood, because I heard you, Robert, talking about going back to childhood. And I had to get in touch, you know, with where did everything first start, you know, and I couldn't do that. You know, when I was locked down, you know, and I'm talking about my own bondage, you know, that I was locked in, you know. But when I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and y'all started sharing some things with me, y'all started suggesting that I address some issues, you know, like being a child of children that was sexually molested over and over and over and over again, you know, and not knowing how to say no, you know, not knowing how to say stop. You understand what I'm saying? Being locked down and then beginning to like it. And it felt good. You know what I'm talking about. And I didn't know how to tell nobody that. But and so when I came into Narcotics Anonymous and my sponsor introduced the steps to me, she used to always say, to thine own self be true. And I was like, what does she mean? Because, see, I never knew how to be true to myself. I always lied to myself. I believed my lies all the time. You know, I was a legend in my own mind. You understand what I'm saying? And so when she introduced the first step to me and then what I got from that, when we did the step, and then, you know, I didn't work the step, though. You know, I wrote the step down. Because, see, the steps worked me. You know, and she used to always say, to thine own self be true. And so when I started looking at me, it was so painful. I was in so much pain because I came from a place that was traumatized, that was hurt, you know, didn't know how to deal with those emotions and pain, you know, and I built a fantasy world up for myself. I suppressed all of that stuff that was in the inside. So I already had a trash recycler already when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, okay? And when I got into that first step, you know, admitting that I was powerless over my addiction, you know, I didn't believe that I was powerless over anything because I thought I had some control. But see, I didn't know that me learning how to exert that control started a long time ago because I had to be strong. I had to handle it. I had to know what to do. I had to protect myself. You understand what I'm saying? So when we did the first step, what the God of my understanding started doing was putting situations in my life pertaining to the spiritual principles, giving me an opportunity to learn how to show some action so that he can build my character. You know, through the situations and circumstances that he put in front of me. And, you know, my sponsor ended up, after doing the first step, and I got that opportunity to look at that spiritual principle of honesty and then starting to learn how to practice it, taking a look at myself, of how much I was hurting, how I didn't like myself, how there was nothing good about me. That was how my process started. Like I said, there was a lot of mental stuff that was going on before I picked the drugs up, you know. And so when we got to the second step, and she talked about open-mindedness, and what she shared about was, always remain open, Sheila, you know. And I didn't know how to remain open or be open. Like I said, I ran on self-will, run riot. You know, I had to start praying to that higher power that you all suggested that I find when I came into these rooms. Y'all said, find something that was loving and caring. Make sure that it's loving and caring, you know, and make sure it has more power than me. And I started praying to that higher power, asking him to help me learn how to be open so that I can receive what I needed to receive. I know lots of times when people shared with me, you know, I would run. And I had this one sister, and she told me, don't run, don't run. She said, put it on the shelf. She said, because maybe you can use it later on, you know. And so what I learned, you know, through the second step is gaining some hope from you people, sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And then I got through the third step, okay. And I thought I had to be white as snow. Like I said, I ran on self-will, run riot. And I thought that I had some faith, You know what I mean? But I found out that I was faithless. You know, because like I said, I ran on self-will run riot lots of times because it had to be my way. I want what I want when I want it. You know, I got to manipulate, you know what I mean? And I got to do all the tricks that I learned to do, all the learned behavior, you know, to get my way. And so I started hearing things like step out on some blind faith. I remember being homeless and not having nowhere to go. You know, I remember having four pair of tights on with holes in between the legs. You know, I remember not being able to talk like I'm talking now. I remember being scared and afraid when I came into the room, into these rooms, because I was battered. I was abused. That's what I learned. I learned how to do it to me. You know what I mean? I'm my own worst self enemy. You know, self-inflicting pain upon self. But I started stepping out on blind faith because I had lost those kids that I had, too. I have six children. And my kids got put into foster homes. They all got separated. So they went through the abandonment and the neglect. And, you know, and when I went to treatment, they was like, you really ain't love your kids. And I was like, yes, I did. I love my children, you know. But I found out that I didn't know how to love them, because how could I have loved them if I wasn't loving me? How could I have been a mother to my kids, you know what I mean, when I didn't even have my mother there to raise me? But she did the best that she could do, you know. And I got in touch with that, you know, stepping out on some blind faith and making a decision to turn my will and my life over to God. And I'm talking about practicing it and still practicing today. And I'm backing up a little bit because I know that I had to learn how to surrender too. And it's like surrender, 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 surrender. And it's an everyday process. You know, and after going through the three steps, my sponsor introduced to me the fourth step. With her listening to me and observing me and watching me, she gave me a fourth step that went into my childhood, my adolescent years, and my adult years. You know, and in the fourth step it says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Talking about a self-examination. And like I said, you know, it was hard for me to look at myself, you know, because I found ways and means to get outside of myself after the drugs was gone, you know. So in the fourth step, you know, it also says that it's crucial that we take this step, you know, and doing a moral inventory. I had to pray first. You know, before I even started writing on this fourth step. And it had things like resentment. You know, I had to write about things about being abused. I had to write about things about in the sexual area, in the relationship area. You know, because I was in a lot of denial. You know, I had to write about things that happened when I was a little girl. So I became an emotional roller coaster, you know, and I would put it down and then I pick it back up and I put it down and pick it back up, you know, and then I heard things like that. If we didn't do this fourth step, you know, that we were bound to use again, you know, and I know that I came from the pits of I don't know where, and I did anything and everything that I needed to do to use. I knew that I didn't want to go back there because I found out I didn't have no control. I didn't. You know, I was too busy exerting control. So when I'm exerting control, that means that I'm not taking care of me on the inside. The little girl is still hurting and suffering. You know, she's still in a lot of pain. And, you know, in the fourth step, it also talks about the guilt. It talks about the shame, you know. And I had to write about all those things, you know. And and I had to keep in contact with my sponsor. You know, I also had to talk to other people and ask them, well, how was the fourth step for you? You know what I mean? But it's talking about doing an honest assessment. And that was real hard, real painful. I need some water. My mouth is dry. Yes, that was a real painful situation to go into. I want to just go to my literature because I was saying, oh, I'm not going to need the literature. You know, God's in charge. Thank you. And this step, it talks about how as we approach this step, that we are afraid that there may be a monster inside of us, you know, and that's how I felt. you know, that it was a monster inside. I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? When I came in here, I had a boatload of all kinds of emotions, a boatload of hurt and pain, you know, and so I found ways, you know, to sit on my pity pot and have a pity party, you know, until I met this girl, and she was like, I ain't coming to your pity party. You're going to be there by yourself, you know, and it also talks about how some of us make the mistake of approaching the fourth step as if it's a confession of how horrible we are. You know what I mean? And I know that it also talks about assets. You know, and I couldn't see those assets, you know, in the beginning, you know. I couldn't see that I was loving or caring, you know, because I didn't have any balance, you know, with the compassion. You know what I mean? I'll put myself in situations, and then I blame the other person for taking advantage of me. You know what I mean? But I put myself in that situation. You know what I mean? And so what I learned, though, in the fourth step, the first through the fourth step, is about taking responsibility for me. You know, and it was only through circumstances and situations. You know, I didn't want to come in here, you know, and share about the fifth step, you know, where we gain some freedom and tell somebody about my insecurities. Why was I insecure? First of all, because I was violated in the beginning. You know, next of all, because there was no trust. There was no trust with me. So how could I trust you? But I can blame you real, real easy. You know what I mean? Because it's better to look at you than to take a look at me. You know, so, you know, in the fifth step, it talks about us having that freedom and us being able to sit down with a sponsor, the God of our understanding. You know what I mean? And ourselves and admitting our wrongs. Because in the beginning, I couldn't get to the exact nature, you know, of what was really, really going on. You know, and I learned things like I'm loving and caring and compassionate. I learned things like I'm generous, you know, that I'm a forgiving person, that I'm maternal. Those are all assets, you know, that I have. And then what my sponsor shared with me was don't lean so much on the liabilities, you know, but I know that when I share in a meeting, I want to share about my imperfections, you know what I mean, and how I can get to the solution. You know, because the only way that I can get through the solution is learning how to take responsibility and deal, you know, with, you know, the situation and the circumstances that I'm confronted with, you know, and, this is a lot. See, I never wanted to come in here and share, you know, that being in a relationship with somebody, you know, that I'll settle for less. You know what I mean? That I'll compromise my morals, values, and principles, you know, in the name of love. You know what I mean? Oh, just love me. Just like me. Just be my friend. You know, don't be angry at me. You know, I had to learn how to reveal that kind of stuff. I couldn't keep holding on to that. You know what I mean? I had to learn how to get some balance, like I said. You know, and it wasn't me giving me no balance. It wasn't me changing me. It's my higher power changing me. I don't even want to take credit for none of that because it's not mine, and I don't want to get it twisted. And when we come into this program, you know, of Narcotics Anonymous, it's an inside job. You know, it's about doing some work, you know, because me living in a solution and 14 years later, you know, and clean time doesn't equal recovery, you know, because I can be clean and crazy and acting out with a whole lot of insanity. You know, just like I was in the beginning. You know, but thank God for the fourth step because it tells us that we're human. You know, that we're not going to be perfect. You know, and so I know that I fall short lots of times. You know, and the fifth step also admitting to God and to ourselves and to another human being. See, I never wanted to share with nobody about I had lust issues and what was up under those lust issues that I had. See, I was always looking for love in all the wrong places, you know, because I was incapable of giving it to myself, because I didn't know how to give it to myself. You know, I had to learn, you know, and I didn't want to share that with nobody, because up underneath that lust is, just love me, because see, this is still this little girl, you know what I mean, that's hurting and it's in a lot of pain. I'm growing up a little bit, though, you know what I mean, I'm growing up a little at a time. I'm about 16 or 17 years old now. You know, and at first I was like 8 or 9, you know, and only through, you know, working the fourth and fifth step and taking an honest assessment of self and taking a look at myself, you know, of and talking about being forgiven. See, I don't want to come in here and tell y'all that I hold a resentment and that I'm vindictive, you know what I mean? And I'll be scheming, you know, on how to get you back, you know. But I'll treat you kind. I'll be nice to you. But all the time, I'm up in here, you know. And I remember in the beginning, y'all told me to get all the skeletons out the closet. You know, that I needed to tell those secrets that go on up in here in this, in my distorted thinking. And I remember I used to blame the disease. I used to say, my disease. And my sponsor said, your disease, Sheila. You know what I mean? I had to get in touch with right here, you know, up in my head, what I tell myself. You know what I mean? And what I run off of. You know, self will run riot, not letting nobody know these are the secrets that I hold. See, just a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to commit suicide. You know what I mean? Just a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to cause harm to self, you know, and through the grace of God and through this program, you know, through my sponsor and step work and sponsees and people, I was able to call somebody because I was locked down. You know what I mean? I was locked down. And I was able to get into the solution, you know. And that comes with doing some step work and doing some inside work, you know. And in the fifth step, you know, it also, you know, we have to share about the shame, you know, walking around, you know, with my head up high, you know what I mean? And somebody like, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, I don't want to tell nobody about the abuse that I accepted and made myself believe that it was okay for me to get beat. That it was okay for me to continue to stay in the abuse because I was too afraid. I had so much fear, false evidence appearing real, you know, to even get out of the abusive relationship I was in. And they wasn't the victim all the time because, see, I victimized too. But, see, I want to portray that I'm the goody-goody girl. You know what I mean? And that ain't so. That ain't so, you know. They say we more alike than different, you know. And, the many masses, you know, that we learn to wear, you know, going through this process. You know, I'm just so truly grateful and I'm thankful that I don't have to continue to still build that self-man-made prison up for myself and to continue to stay in bondage, you know, and to continue to hurt myself. You know, and when my sponsor, in reference to the committing suicide, my sponsor said, well, everybody thinks things like that. And I was like, really? You know, but it made me feel like, you know, that I wasn't the only one and I needed to hear that, you know. And my sponsor shared a lot of things with me in the fifth step. And I needed her to share those things with me to let me know that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only one. And I couldn't believe that she had went through some of the same similar situations that I had went through, you know, and that helped. You know, it talks about how our embarrassment is eventually overcome and we can avoid future guilt. That's what it says in the literature. You know, how we do not need to procrastinate. I'm finding out so much about Sheila that I never knew in this process, in this journey that I'm on, you know, and that I don't have to continue to hold myself in bondage and be embarrassed, you know, about what I do to me. Because, see, when I come and share with you all, that releases the power from over me, you know, about what I do to me and the things that I create for myself, you know, because it's about a program of responsibility. You know, we learn responsibility in this process. And, you know, and I heard y'all say that we get better, we don't get well, we don't get fixed. I've had a lot of miracles. I got my six kids back, you know, I went through parenting classes. I got in therapy. You know, I had my children in therapy. My son is in a youth center now, my 17-year-old. My 16-year-old, she's in a facility, a residential treatment program, because they are able to get the assistance and the help that I didn't get. And they just don't know how fortunate they really are. My baby, she's 14. Her name's Heaven. She grew up in the rooms. She got services just wrapped around her. Because I learned in this process that I'm going through to reach out and to ask somebody for some help, to give me some guidance, you know, and people that's been put in my path, you know what I mean, to give me some assistance with things that I thought that I knew that I really don't know. You know, it takes a lot to come and say, oh, I really don't know. Because, see, I suffer from Miss Know-It-All-ism. So, you know, I got all the answers. But for real, I really don't. You know, I really appreciate my sponsees, you know, because they sponsor me lots of times. They really, really do. You know, I appreciate my husband for putting up with a woman like me, okay? Because it's always about him, you know, but it's really about me because it starts with me and it ends with me. And that's what the fourth and fifth step shows me, that I can no longer blame people, places, and things, you know, that I can no longer blame, you know, that, oh, and make excuses. You know what I mean? Because, see, I don't want to talk about how I'll go about getting my way, how I'll still manipulate. You know what I mean? How I still want to scheme. You know, how I still, just the other day, was thinking about stealing. Okay? You know what I mean? And I'm talking about some things that are real, that's going on with my life today. You know, things that I don't have to hide behind. I don't want to hide. I want to be free. And that's what the fifth step offers us, freedom. You know, my sponsor said that when I share, I shouldn't be saying and. And it's just like it's a habit, and I keep sharing it, you know. But I thank God that I'm able to reveal parts of me, you know, and that I don't have to continue to hide out, you know what I mean, in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, or behind the steps, or in church, or behind the man, or in a job. Because, see, I had two jobs, too, because I'm greedy, okay? And I like money. I like to shop, you know, especially when things ain't going right. And I'll shop and spend money that I don't even have. You understand? I'm talking about even before I done paid my bills, okay? And I'm talking about getting real, but I'm learning responsibility. I am, because I know that I paid my car note last month, and I don't have a job. I had two of them, working in a treatment facility and then working with families with children with mental health challenges. And God removed me from both of them because he said, sister, I need to humble your spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And at first I was angry. I was sad. I was depressed. And then I got to the acceptance part because it's a process. And people say, oh, let go and let God. And it's okay. Don't hold on to it. Well, you know what? My process is anger. You know what I mean? Sadness, depression, bargaining. And then I get to the acceptance piece. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to jack myself up because, like I said, I believe my own lies. You know what I mean? So I have to be careful to be able to share with somebody. Call somebody like Wayne in Philly and tell her, this is what I'm going through. This is what's happening in my life. You know what I mean? And she shared her experience, strength, and hope. You know, because it's about us having that unity and that togetherness and coming together. You know, ain't no big eyes and little U's. You know, and I'm still a newcomer. You know, because I haven't arrived. And when I think that I have, bang. You understand what I'm saying? I get some situations and circumstances so that I can learn how to practice the spiritual principles. Principles of courage and principles of integrity. You know, being able to tell somebody, you know, what's going on. Is my time up? Okay. All right. Okay, it says that addicts tend to live secret lives, but I just went into that. You know, the lies that we'll tell ourselves and then walking around. You know, being dishonest. You know what I mean? Because I'm so honest that I'm dishonest. Okay? And I need to get that straight. I do. You know, because when people say, oh, I'm so honest and I'll never tell lies. And I just watch them. I just look. You know, this is a program of observation. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I don't want to get it twisted. You know what I mean? Because I know at any given time that my disease will raise its ugly head. Because it's just arrested. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when it raises its ugly head, I can either apply the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous, or either I can run on self-will, run riot, you know, and get the same pain that I always gotten. You know, or either even knowing, you know, what I'm going to get, and still doing it. You know what I mean? Being in a relationship after the expiration date is gone. You know, but doing everything that I got to do, running on self-will, you know, and people-pleasing. I don't know if anybody's like me, you know what I mean? But they say, like I said, we're more alike than different. You know, but I'm talking about, like, people-pleasing behavior. You know, because I ain't trusting God. You know, that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out just the way he wanted to. Not the way Sheila wanted to. You know, because I ain't in charge. I ain't running nothing. You know, the first step tells me that. All the steps tell us that. You know, the fourth and fifth step tell us that. You know what I mean? It talks about how we'll never be able to remember our past mistakes. I remember a lot of my past mistakes that I made, but they were just opportunities, you know, for me to grow. And when I didn't get it, I got to revisit it all over again, you know, so we get an opportunity to grow again, you know. And it talks about beginning to experience real personal feelings of a spiritual nature. Whew. Real personal feelings of a spiritual nature. I'm talking about going to help somebody, even when I don't want to. I'm talking about being a service and getting out the way. You know what I mean? Going to pick a newcomer up. You know, a spiritual nature. I'm talking about persevering and going on in spite of no matter what. You know, I'm talking about practicing honesty when dishonesty comes up. You know, I'm talking about having some hope that no matter what happens, that long as we don't use, because when we use, you know, we lose, you know, things will get better. I'm talking about just learning to persevere and just, you know, just going on in spite of no matter what. And that's one of my national anthems. Never give up. Just hold on. You know, things that get better. And those are things that you all shared with me. You know, the things that get better. Having a spiritual nature of courage. And I've gained a lot of gifts in this program, though. I've gained some gifts, like persevering and courage and, you know, and integrity. You know, and learning, you know, who I am. Those are gifts, you know. And learning that I don't have to allow other people to hold me hostage. Or even not even other people to hold me hostage, for me to hold me hostage. Because don't nobody hold me hostage for real. You know what? It's my guilt or my shame. So let me not get that twisted and straighten that out. You know, because I'm the one to set my own scenes up. You know what I mean? I'm the one that's the script writer. I'm the producer, you know. And I'm the one that's the actress too, you know. And so I got to be real careful about that too. You know, and giving it to somebody else because I don't want to deal with me. Because I don't want to take a look at me. I don't know if anybody else is like me. You know, I don't know if anybody else is identifying in, but I hope that you do. You know, they say take what you need and leave the rest. You know, having a spiritual nature, you know, learning some humility and taking a look at self. And being able to share that with somebody else. You know, having that faith and learning how to build that relationship with the God of my understanding. And being able to turn it over to him. You know, because we were supposed to have been doing like an 11 step. Because when I called my sponsor in the beginning, I was like, well, maybe I need to write another fourth step. And, you know, and she was like, but Sheila, are you on your 11th step? I was like, okay. You know, because then I started wanting to sponsor self. Because I had to come up here and say, oh, I just did another fourth step. And me and my sponsor, we just did some step work and, you know, and all those things. But it's not even about that. Because it's about the way I walk. It's about the way that I act at home. You know what I mean? You know, when I start acting out, cussing my kids out. And things like that. How I treat my children. See, if I don't learn how to love myself and be gentle and loving and caring with self, how can I be able to be that way with you? How can I be able to have some acceptance with you if I don't have no self-acceptance with self? Like you all said, it starts with me and it ends with me. Hey, this meeting is a long time. My goodness. I thought that I could talk, you know, the whole time. But, my time is up, thank God. I want to thank you all for allowing me to serve.